jackal was battling him rather than Christ himself. Lucifer had been the angelic leader. Listen to Ezekiel's description, Ezekiel 28. You were the pattern of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, God's garden. Every precious stone was your covering. Sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and gold. You are the anointed cherub who guards, and I have made you so. You were on God's holy mountain. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Lucifer had been top dog. Sure, Michael was a powerful angel, but no match, certainly, for Lucifer himself. Think of Michael as the field commander. But to defeat Lucifer, you would surely need the top general. As a teacher of cultural history, I knew that the great leaders of the past always led their troops personally. Encyclopedia Britannica says of Alexander the Great, he himself commanded about 30,000 foot soldiers and over 5,000 cavalry. And this army was to prove remarkable. So here's poor old Michael, asked to expel Lucifer himself from heaven. Where was Jesus in all of this? Indeed, look at John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And John is talking about Jesus. The victory is attributed to Christ himself. And yet, here in Patmos, John sees only Michael evicting Satan from heaven. Puzzled me for a long time, and then one day it hit home. A little-known commentator, little-known to me at least, G.B. Caird, his name is, provided the solution. At least two biblical statements stand out in bold relief. Colossians 2, 13 to 15. You being dead in your sins, Paul says, he has brought to life together with himself, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the indictments that were against us, taking them away by nailing them to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made an open spectacle of them, defeating them in it. That's Jesus Christ. Or Hebrews 2:14, since the children are flesh and blood, human beings, he himself became one of them, thus identifying fully with them, so that through death he might destroy the one who had brought death, i.e. the devil. So where did Michael fit in all of this? I say, in all due respect, Michael was the cleanup man. He had a warrant to evict, and he executed his warrant. Where did he get his warrant? Oh, he got it from the one who won it. As Jesus hung on the cross, he was not fighting Satan. He was fighting God the Father himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19-21, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. He, God, has made him, Christ, to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, so that we in him could be made the righteousness of God. Oh, there's your general. Having taken your sin upon himself, he's forced to fight with his own father And if he loses that fight, it's all over. No wonder the sun was darkened. No wonder the earth quaked. Can he win? Well, listen carefully. John 19:30. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It's finished." And he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. But wait. There's one more player in this drama. He doesn't even know he's on a stage. He has no idea what part he's playing. John 19:31 to 34. The Jews, therefore, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, because that was a high Sabbath, requested Pilate to have their legs broken so that they might be removed. So the soldiers broke the legs of the first two. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, and that's interesting too, you know, because Jesus was in the middle, there was a guy on each side of him. They broke the legs of the one on this side, then went all the way over here and broke the legs on this side. Then they came to Jesus. You know who orchestrated that? When they saw he was dead already, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers took his spear and pierced his side, and blood and water gushed out. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that pagan Roman soldier who didn't have a clue accomplished the most necessary part of it all. Matthew 26, verses 27 and 28, as he eats with his disciples, he took the cup. He gave thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "All of you drink from it. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for many for the remission of sins." The general has won the war. The field commander has cleaned out heaven. And you and I can remember and praise him together as we drink the cup. Hallelujah. My Passover lamb has been slaughtered. His blood has been shed and applied. And I can remember and celebrate the victory that he won for me. And so as he passed that cup in the upper room that night, we pass the cup to you this night as we show the Lord's death till he returns. Pray with me. Our God and Father, as we think of our Savior on the cross, we just can't imagine that he would go through all of that for us. And he's done it. And we have new life. And tonight, we remember that his shed blood has cleansed us from sin. And so we pray that as we come to you, your blessing and your guidance will be ours as we partake of this cup together. In Jesus' name, amen.